December 10th, 2012, Mayapur, India, Nectar of Devotion, Class 11.
Do we want to pass them out now?
You can pass them out now. That's all right. So far we've done the first... Just pass them out silently if you could. So far we've done the first five chapters of Nectar of Devotion. We're going to go through a big shift now to Chapter 6. So I want to just have a quick review of chapters 1 through 5 and go through some questions, and then we're going to go on to chapter 6. All right. What's our natural propensity? Everyone has a natural propensity to?
To love.
Everyone has a natural propensity to love. And how do you love everyone? How do you love everyone? Oh, can we wake up, please? How do you love everyone? Look at that later. Put it away. By loving Krishna. Can I have three analogies, please? Three analogies. Watering the root of the tree. Watering the root of the tree. What's another analogy? What's another one? Yeah, what switch? That lights up everything. Can we get all that together? Put the papers away, please. Just put them away. Look at them later. Forget that you got them. Put them away. Look at them, please. 1:30. Put them away. Just put them away. Just pretend you don't have them. Get rid of them. Thank you. No, put them away. Put them away. In the envelope. Close the envelope. Put it away, please. Thank you. You don't have them. They're gone. She didn't really give them to you. Put them away. Thank you, please. Okay, everyone has a natural propensity to?
Love.
And how do we love everyone? What's the analogies? It's like?
Watering
the root of a tree. And?
Eating
his stomach. And?
Picking
one switch that lights everything. Sometimes in a room, there's only one switch and it lights everything. All right, and Srila Rupa Goswami especially made his nectar devotion for the devotees who are like
sharks,
and sharks swim in the. Put those away, please. I'm begging, I'm tumbling at your lotus feet with a straw in my teeth. Please put those things away. So the sharks swim in the ocean, and the sharks are not interested in the
rivers.
The rivers are compared to. Liberation, fruit of activities, and the sharks don't get evaporated like just the water. The impersonalists want to just be water that merges with the water. We want to be sharks. We don't get evaporated, and the sharks don't get caught
in the fisherman's
net. Okay, and spiritual rasa is what?
Eternal.
Sanskrit.
Amrita.
And material happiness is?
Chapalasukha.
It's temporary. It's temporary. And spiritual happiness gives us?
Satisfaction
without satiation. And material happiness?
Satiation without satisfaction.
And because it gives satiation without satisfaction, what do you have to do in material happiness? You have to do bhogatyaga. Okay? What is rasa?
Mellow.
Okay. Let's all say the definition of pure devotional service in Sanskrit together.
Anyabhidashita shunyam jnana varmadina vritam anukulyam nishanu shilana bhakti rutamam.
Okay, without looking at the wall, you lovely lady in the yellow sari, what is anushilanam, please?
Anushilanam?
Yes.
Pleasure for Krishna, so it's...
That's anukulyena. Anushilanam. Okay, you please tell me, what is anushilanam? Yes, please.
It's action.
Yes.
The negative and liberty and liberty.
Yes.
Is it favorable to Krishna consciousness?
Favorable to Krishna. How do you know it's favorable? From what part? Anushilanam. Which part tells you it's favorable? Anu tells you it's favorable. Anu tells you it's favorable. And positive and negative, and in positive and negative, without looking at the wall?
I'm tired.
Okay, I want all of you to know this by tomorrow. Okay, it's right up there on the wall. Okay, it's right up there on the wall. Please make sure you know that by tomorrow. Okay, tomorrow I'm going to cover that up and ask you to write it on your papers without looking. So please make sure you know that by tomorrow. Okay, and what are the characteristics of bhakti? How do you know it's pure bhakti? Six characteristics, what are they? That's very good. No, you got most of that. That was very good. Okay. All right. And bhakti has to be free from? Completely free from? No, completely free from? Material desires, motives. And it can't be covered by? So if you're saying, I want bhakti because I want liberation or mukti, then you're not in pure bhakti. No, I should just want bhakti. And the qualification, what's the qualification for bhakti?
Attraction.
Okay, and the levels of bhakti, what are the three levels?
Sadhana, bhava, and prema.
Good, everyone together.
Sadhana, bhava, prema.
Two kinds of sadhana are?
Vaidhi
and Raganuga. And what's motivating you in Vaidhi?
Willpower,
determination, and?
Faith and authority, no?
Authority. Shastra.
Yeah, Shastra.
Okay, what's motivating you in Raganuga?
Spontaneous love.
Okay, now since Vaidhi, what's motivating you is Vidya, or Shastra, what are the three levels of eligibility for Vaidhi Bhakti? Ultima. Okay, the Kanista has what? You please tell me. Kanista has what? No, this very quiet lady here at the end. You just came today? You were never here before. That's why you're so quiet. Okay. This lady here in the red sweater, who's also very quiet. You tell me about Kanista. What's the Kanista eligibility for Vaidhi Bhakti?
It's only practicing.
Vaidhi Bhakti is only practice. The Sadhana Bhakti is practice. But Kanista qualification for Vaidhi Bhakti. Okay, let's see who can help her out. Yes, you.
Low faith and low knowledge of scriptures.
Yes. So not much faith in the scripture and not much knowledge in the scripture. Will you please tell me about Majjhima?
High faith in the scriptures, low knowledge in the scriptures.
Yes, so the Majjhima really believes the scriptures but doesn't always know them. And you kindly tell me about Uttama.
High faith in knowledge and high knowledge.
High know. So faith in the knowledge and a lot of the knowledge. So that's the eligibility. I'm going to ask you tomorrow. Please make sure you know. That's going to be the eligibility for what? That's eligibility for what?
Vaidhi Bhakti.
For Vaidhi Bhakti. That's the that shows how easily it's going. How easy it's going to be for you to do Vaidhi Bhakti. Yes.
What about the phenomena for reading Bhagavad Gita but not really knowing the letters and the
Mahabharata? The only ultimate eligibility for Bhakti is
attraction.
Taste and attraction. Taste and attraction. It will be much easier for you to do Vaidhi Bhakti if you
have some knowledge.
If you have a Shastric knowledge.
Why will Vaidhi Bhakti be easier if you know the Shastras and have faith in the Shastras?
Because your faith will not get disturbed by
them. No, why? What is Vaidhi Bhakti?
You know how to do the rules and regulations.
Yeah.
You know how to follow.
Vaidhi Bhakti is all about doing the rules and regulations. The more you know the rules and regulations and the more you trust the rules and regulations, the easier it's going to be to follow them. Why would I compare that to?
Taking
medicine. If you don't know that, if you can't read the doctor's instructions and you don't trust the doctor, it's going to be hard for you to follow the medical advice. So you can become perfect in sadhana bhakti in other ways, in Vaidhi sadhana bhakti in other ways. Krishna can reveal from within your heart and so forth and so on. But for most of us, if we don't know the Shastras and we don't have faith in the Shastras, it's going to be very difficult to perform what? Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti. All right, we are now finished with the introductory chapters. Introduction through chapter 5 is telling us about Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, about the definition of Bhakti, about who's eligible for Bhakti. Oh, what is eligibility not based on? That's easy. It's not based on any material qualifications. If you have a taste and attraction for Krishna, it doesn't matter whether your body is male, female, black, white, old, young, tall, short, whether you have an IQ of 70 or an IQ of 270, whether you have big muscles or no muscles, whether you're in a wheelchair, whether you're an Olympic athlete. Now, obviously, if you're in a wheelchair or you're an Olympic athlete, you may do different kinds of external service for Krishna. You probably can't go on the altar and dress the deities here in Mayapur with all the stairs if you're in a wheelchair. But that's just a practical consideration. All right, now we're going to go to looking again at Anushilam. Can everyone look at the wall? Because you really got to know what Anushilam is, folks. Okay, Anushilam is the activities. Anu means following authority so that it's pleasing to Krishna. You're just not making up the stuff. And then it's activities, and some of them are positive and some of them are negative. And they have to do with?
Body,
speech, and mind. And mind has to do with?
Thinking,
feeling, and so we're going to go on to that in a minute, but I want to answer some of these questions now, and then we're going to go on to the stuff. All right. I have some from yesterday I didn't get to, and I want to just spend a few minutes and do that now. Okay, so here's a nice question. We didn't get to all of them yesterday. If we have to earn Krishna's trust, how can someone think of Krishna at death, a non-devotee, a neophyte, and go back to God and without having proven they're trustworthy? They can't. However, proving to Krishna you're trustworthy and becoming a devotee may take only a minute. It may take a million lifetimes. It may take a minute. There's no set time. It's not like a college degree that has to take 4 years or 3 years. It can take a long time or a short time. But no, you can't go back to Godhead without proving to Krishna that you're trustworthy. If one goes lifetime after lifetime perfecting their devotional service, then why don't we ever meet devotees like Sri Rupa Goswami? I do. I meet devotees like Rupa Goswami. Gajendra was disqualified for sadhana bhakti, but he goes back to Godhead. Similarly, Dhruva Maharaj became a pure devotee. How did that happen? Also, is sadhana part of Uttama Bhakti? So the first two questions about Dhruva and Gajendra, they switched. They switched. They started performing jnana-covered bhakti or karma-covered bhakti, and at a certain point they switched to Uttam bhakti. At a certain point they said, no, I want, just like, I wasn't born performing Uttam bhakti. I wasn't born even performing karma-kanda. And at a certain point I switched, I hope. Is sadhana bhakti part of Uttam bhakti? Who can answer that question?
Yes.
Yes. What's the beginning of sadhana bhakti? Sadhana bhakti begins when you do what? When thinking of Krishna. Okay, sadhana bhakti begins when you're trying to think of Krishna. What's the essence of sadhana bhakti? Always thinking of Krishna. Yes. Sadhana bhakti is part of Uttam bhakti if it's Anya Bilasi Tasanyam Jnana Karma Anavritam. Were you doing that for the noise?
The smell?
Yeah, the smell's really bad. Well, unfortunately, it gets hot in here.
No,
that'd be too cold.
We can have
another one. That's all right. Okay. A few others we had here. These are all really good questions. Ajamil got rid of all his desires and subtle body of the mind before reaching the spiritual world. Yes. Ajamil, after seeing the Vishnu Dutas, he did not die. He stayed in that body. His death was postponed. He gave up his very simple family situation. He went to Hardwar and engaged in activities of bhakti. And then he became fully purified. Then the Vishnu Dutas came back with an airplane and took him to Vaikuntha. So, this is a really good question. How do we give advice to people about piety and following Varna Ashram in a way that does not cover their bhakti? Excellent question. First of all, people should accrue piety through bhakti. By thinking of Krishna, you naturally want to give up illicit sex, intoxication, meat eating, and gambling. We don't say to people, again, as this one person who does, but generally we don't say to people, before you can chant Hare Krishna, you have to give up illicit sex, meat eating, intoxication, and gambling. But naturally, as you advance in Krishna consciousness, you want to become a good person, because that's what Krishna likes. Really, you don't really care about being a good person or a bad person anymore. What you care about is pleasing Krishna, and Krishna wants you to be a good person, because all those rules about good persons came from Krishna. Now, Krishna might not always want you to be a good person. He wanted Yudhisthira to tell a lie. So he might ask you to do something that's against the rules of piety. Not likely. Don't count on it. And don't use Krishna consciousness as an excuse to be a rascal. But no, that it's a different thing. Instead of wanting to be a good, pious person, so everybody will say, what a good, pious person. And so you can enjoy the world as a good, pious person. You want Krishna to smile at you. You know, we're vegetarians as part of our Krishna consciousness. Correct? We give up intoxication, illicit sex as part of our Krishna consciousness. As far as following Varnashram, everybody has to do something to live. Everyone has to eat. There's not really a choice about it. We all have to eat, we all have to wear clothes, we have to have some ordinary dealings in the world. And the system of Varnashram gives you guidance as to how to do your ordinary dealings in a way that it's easy to offer them to Krishna. Now, you can offer your ordinary dealings to Krishna even if you're not following the rules of Varnashram. Remember we read that? Yes?
Yes.
Do you all remember reading that? Because I got like 3 questions on it. It was so nice. Are you all tired today?
No.
You seem really, tired today.
It's a codicil.
Oh, was that what it is? You blame the codicil. Okay, right, page 26 and 27. There is no need of even designating oneself Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Sudra, Brahmachari, Grihastha, Vanaprastha, Sannyasi, let everyone be engaged in whatever occupation he now has. Let him simply worship Lord Krishna by the result of his activities in Krishna consciousness. So, it's not necessary, but the Varnashram system says, if you're married, this is how to be married so that you can offer your marriage as a sacrifice for Krishna. If you're renounced, this is how to be renounced so you can offer your renunciation as a sacrifice for Krishna. If this is your occupation, it goes in this category. Okay, you have this occupation, it goes in the Vaishya category, it goes in the Brahman category. And this category is a way, tells you, this is the kind of sacrifice you can do for Krishna in that occupation. It gives you some guidelines. Now, can you sacrifice for Krishna without those guidelines? Yeah.
Yes.
Of course you can. However, those guidelines make it easier. That's all. The purport says, Prahlad Maharaj prayed for Krishna consciousness. Yes. Actually, in the Bhagavatam, it specifically says Krishna. But Lord Krishna appeared much after Lord Nisinga, even though the Lord always existed. I thought Prahlad Maharaj prayed to Vishnu. Can you please clarify? No, look in the Bhagavatam. It says Krishna. If you say the devotee on the last stage is Krishna Karshani, does not desire anything evil, but isn't it that even such devotees can again desire evil in sense of again turning his back to Krishna by coming to the material world? Yes. So is this tendency towards evil is eternally existing in a jiva, isn't it? No. What's eternally existing in the jiva is freedom. That's what's eternally existing in the jiva. I don't personally feel that I have any tendency towards cannibalism. Okay? I've never noticed it. At all. I don't think I have an inherent tendency towards cannibalism, but I have the freedom to be a cannibal, and that's a big difference. Is that clear? There's nothing that's preventing me. I mean, there's laws, obviously. But it's not that there's something that's preventing me. I have the freedom, but that doesn't mean the tendency itself is inherent. The tendency itself is not inherent. I don't feel that I have one iota of an inclination in that direction. Maybe I'm just not honest, but I don't know. I've never seen it. Do you understand the difference? So someone who's completely pure, they have absolutely zero tendency to sin, but they have freedom. You can't. It's not that their freedom's taken away. I'm not a vegetarian because I've lost my freedom to eat meat. That's not why I'm a vegetarian. I haven't been turned into a rabbit. A rabbit doesn't really have the freedom to eat meat. They're forced. Their body is forcing them to be a vegetarian or a cow. I mean, you could force a cow to eat meat, but a cow isn't naturally going to kill an animal and eat it. So a cow or a rabbit is a vegetarian because their freedom has been temporarily taken away. I'm not a vegetarian because I've lost my freedom. But I have no interest in eating meat. I don't go past a meat shop and think, I want to eat meat. Oh, I just can't do it. Oh, what a shame. So there's no tendency, there's no zero tendency for evil in the pure soul. But there is freedom. And there's a difference. Now, once you start misusing your freedom, you start getting evil tendencies. That's the cycle. Once I start misusing my freedom, I start getting evil tendencies. If I were to start misusing my freedom now and I associate with evil people, then I may get also evil tendencies, correct? That I didn't have before. Okay, those were from yesterday. I'm going to make sure I got those. Okay, I'd like you to open up to chapter 6. How many of you actually like read chapter 6? Oh, pretty good. Okay, open up to chapter 6. Chapter 6 is basically the big list. Okay, it's the big list of all the Anushimanam. It's a big list of the what?
Anushilanam.
Good, okay. So, and Anushilanam means what again? I keep forgetting.
Actions.
Actions. And Anu means it's?
Following.
So it's favorable. Very good. Okay, and they're positive and negative, and they're body, mind, and speech. Okay, in this chapter 6, Rupa Goswami first gives 10 most important positives. Then he gives 10 most important negatives. Then he gives 44 positives and negatives that are also there. So he gives first 10 most important positives, then 10 most important negatives, and then another 44. Now the first three are the three most important. So if you find where it says number 1 on page 53... And those first three, the first positives, accepting the shelter of the lotus feet of a bona fide spiritual master, becoming initiated by the spiritual master, and learning how to discharge devotional service, and obeying the orders with faith and devotion. So, shelter of a guru, initiation and study, and then doing it. Those are the three most important. Why do you think those are the most important? Now the foundation. You can't do anything else without that. You can't have the Anushilanam and the Anukulyena. Remember we talked about that before? Remember when Prabhupada talked about Anukulyena and Anushilanam? Remember he said that without initiation, how are you going to know what to do if you don't have a teacher? So without that, you really can't do much of anything else. You have to have those. Then there's also the five most potent, the five most powerful. Anybody know what those are? Worshipping the deity. Bhagavatam. Devotees. Holy name and sacred place. Okay. And Rupa Goswami is going to have a whole separate section for that. So in this chapter, basically, it's just the big list. And then the next few chapters... From chapter 7 through chapter, I think it's 14. No, 13. 7 through 13, he's going to be taking these one at a time and giving us scriptural evidences. Remember, that's why we know it's an authorized scripture. One of the reasons is that he's giving us scriptural evidences. Now, there's some scriptural evidences even in this chapter, a little bit. You know, there's a little bit here and there. But basically, this is just a list. And then after this, and I really like how Rupa Goswami organizes this. He gives us a list first, and then he's going to give us the scriptural evidences. All right, I want you to take the next 3 minutes and read over the first 20 items. You have 3 minutes to read the first 20 items. Starting in the middle of page 53, down to the middle of page 54. As soon as you're done, close your books, close your notebooks, get out a pencil or a pen. Close your study guides. Something of the mind, and under mind you can put feeling or thinking, not willing. We're going to put willing along with the body, so this will include willing. Or is it something of speech? Another thing you can do, and you can do all of these, or you can do some of these as you like. You can also categorize them in the 9 processes. Hearing, what are they? Everybody tell me. Serving lotus feet includes visiting places of pilgrimage, worshiping Tulsi. Okay. And also, you can, if you like, you can categorize them by the senses.
Some of the negatives that I see, like, you put it in a way that makes it sound positive. Like,
that's right.
So, but
still the negative. Uh-huh.
So, but it's still the negative.
Yeah, otherwise, you'd just be able to go through and find all the one should not.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Get into just kind of turn slightly so you have groups of at least 4 people. And now you can make sure everybody's included in a group. And get out, you can get now get out your books and your notes and your study guides or whatever, and discuss what you have and see what you've come up with. Now, you're not all going to agree about what's body, what's mind, what's speech, what's thinking and feeling. You're not all going to agree about the nine processes or the others. That, there'll be differences of opinion. But for the ten most important, three most important, other ten most important, that's got to be right out of the book. All right? So please shift around so that you're in groups of at least four people, not more than six. Somewhere between four to six people. And please compare notes and compare in the books and discuss.